Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Sunday Gathering, a time to connect with Creator through prayer and reflection. Each week, the clergy of the Community Catholic Church of Canada gather to worship together, and we invite you to join us. We are an inclusive and progressive denomination in the Anglican Roman Catholic tradition. And now, let's prepare our hearts for worship and create sacred space to be blessed by God. Good morning and welcome to our service of worship on this 20th Sunday after Pentecost. Our homilist today is Archdeacon Liz Labazou. And now, let us prepare our hearts for a time of worship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. We ask for your forgiveness and your unlimited mercy to embrace us and restore us with your grace. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. May the God of love and power forgive you and free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you by the Holy Spirit, and raise you to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. This is the Collect for this 20th Sunday after Pentecost. Lord God, our Redeemer, who heard the cry of your people and sent your servant Moses to lead them out of slavery, free us from the tyranny of sin and death, and by the leading of your Spirit, bring us to our promised land. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Joel, chapter 2, beginning at the 23rd verse. O children of Zion, be glad and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you abundant rain, and the early and later rain as before. The threshing floor shall be full of grain, and the vat shall overflow with wine and oil. I will repay you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army which I sent against you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never again be put to shame. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I, the Lord, am your God, and there is no other, and my people shall never again be put to shame. Then afterward I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female slaves in those days I will pour out my spirit. I will show portents in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said. And among the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The psalm appointed between the lections is Psalm 65. Praise is due to you, O God, in Zion, and to you shall vows be performed. O you who answer prayer, to you all flesh shall come. When deeds of iniquity overwhelm us, you forgive our transgressions. Happy are those whom you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy temple. By awesome deeds you answer us with deliverance, O God of our salvation. You are the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas. By your strength you establish the mountains, you are girded with might. You silence the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, the tumult of the peoples. Those who live at earth's farthest bounds are awed by your signs. You make the gateways of the morning and the evening shout for joy. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide the people with grain, for so you have prepared it. You water its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers, and blessing its growth. You crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with richness. The pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and sing together for joy. Lord God, joy marks your presence. Beauty, abundance, and peace are the tokens of your work in all creation. Work also in our lives, that by these signs we may see the splendor of your love and praise through your Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
A reading from the second letter from Paul to Timothy, chapter 4, beginning with the 6th verse. As for me, I am already being poured out as a libation, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and save me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
He also told this parable to some of those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you for that I am not like the other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, and even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to the heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted. This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Good morning. Today is the 20th Sunday after Pentecost. Today's sermon is based on the Gospel of Luke. It is the parable of the Pharisees and the tax collector. This is one of the more enjoyable parables because none of us would ever imagine ourselves in the place of the Pharisee. Actually, this seems to be a most enjoyable smackdown by Jesus of an obnoxious and arrogant villain. Today, we have two men who went up to the temple to pray, Pharisee and a tax collector. For people who have been in church for a long time, when you hear the word Pharisee, you probably have a bad negative impression of them. Oftentimes, we think of them as the bad guys. They're the enemy. They're the people that opposed Jesus and even crucified him. But in Jesus' time, they were looked up to in the Jewish society. They were respected religious leaders, loyal to the Jewish people, but not to the Romans, very upstanding citizens, the ones you'd follow and listen to. Now, in the minds of Jesus' listeners, the Pharisees were good, but the tax collectors were the bad ones. There were local Jews hired by the empire to collect taxes from the Jewish people and send the money to the Romans. They were even known to collect much more than required, which they kept for themselves, and they gave some to the soldiers that were with them. Most of the tax collectors were corrupt and used all sorts of methods to collect this money. Now, when they enter the temple, the Pharisee goes to stand by himself, alone, a distance from his inferiors. His purpose of standing alone might be to call attention to his status, or it might be to keep himself from including the tax collector who might defile him by their unclean touch. He begins to pray, saying, God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of the men, the extortioners, the unrighteous, the adulterers, or even this tax collector. He continues by saying, I fast twice a week, and I give tithes of all that I get. Now, in the first few verses, we see the example of the Pharisee and his self-righteous prayer. He seems to be giving us more of a self-eulogy than a prayer. There are a few things in his prayer that we need to pay attention to. You may notice that there are no thanks to God, but rather a long list of personal achievements. I did this and I did that. Perhaps he didn't go to pray to God, but to pray about himself and to make sure that those around him knew that he was good. He actually believed that he had done more than God required. Now, are these good things that he has done? Of course they are. Is this the kind of man you want as a church member? Perhaps. He was respected at the time, but there's one thing wrong with his prayer. It was all about him, not about God. All the focus and the intention of his prayer was all about him. He's proud and he's arrogant. The center of the world is him, not God. He talks about God in his prayer, but still it's not about him. When we pray, are our prayers all about us? Are we focused on us or are we focused on God? Are we more interested in what we are doing or are we more interested in God and who he is and what he is doing? How do you think this made the tax collector feel? Now, the tax collector, on the other hand, he had a very different attitude. But keep in mind that nobody likes the tax collector. He is the one that everybody looks down on and asks, why did he come to the temple? What is he doing there? Do they even want him there? After all, those people in the temple might be the ones that he is stealing money from. They are wondering, why did he come? Do thieves usually come to church? No, they don't. But this tax collector, he comes to the temple and he wants to pray, even though the people are questioning, why is he there? The tax collector, like the Pharisee, stands by himself, but his reason is different. It shows to us that he felt unworthy, so unworthy that he couldn't even stand close to the sanctuary, and he couldn't even look up at heaven because of the shame he had for his sins. What does he do? He beats his chest. He's being sorry and begins to repent. He opens his mouth and prays, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. His prayer is simple and direct. He's humble and he humbles himself before God and can only hope for mercy. His prayer has much in keeping with the great penitential psalm, Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. Does he say anything about himself in his prayer? He knows he's a sinner, and he knows he deserves absolutely nothing from God. He may have many possessions, but there is one thing he doesn't have, and that is God's approval. Will God accept the Pharisees and the tax collector? Jesus does not tell us that the tax collector offers to refund his ill-gotten money, and he does not say the tax collector will change his ways and become respectable. He has nothing to command. He has nothing to commend, and makes no effort to be commendable. The tax collector's only virtue is his humility, which allows him to ask for mercy. Will God accept him? The Pharisee was confident that God will accept him, but God doesn't. As for the tax collectors, he has sinned, and he knows that God does not or might not accept him. But, lo and behold, God did. Now, what does Jesus say about these two men? Of the tax collector. God does answer his prayers by saying, I tell you, this man went down to his home justified, rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So now we have the righteous man, the Pharisee, going down to his house as unjustified and unrighteous, and an unrighteous man, the tax collector, going down to his house righteous and justified. Justification and righteousness is not something we can accomplish on our own. We can only receive it as a gift from God. It is due to God's mercy alone. There is no room for boasting. Justification comes only when the humble repent and believe. The self-righteous will be humbled, and the humbled will be exalted. Does that surprise you? For the people listening that day, it was the Pharisee who was the good man, a good religious man. So God should have accepted him and not the tax collector because he was the bad man. But Jesus completely changed that. He said the Pharisee is the one who is not accepted and the tax collector is the one that was. Dear friends, the big gospel question is, will God accept us? Who is the person that God accepts? Jesus says, those who humble themselves will be exalted, but those who exalt themselves will be humbled. The Pharisee exalted himself. He exalted himself up, and he was proud. Had he not done enough good morals? Yes, he has. But they were acceptable. Were they acceptable before God? Are all our deeds, our good deeds, acceptable before God if we are lacking in humility? No, they're not. This is what the Pharisee did not understand, as it is only God who justifies us. It is those who humble themselves and those who come before God and say, God, I don't deserve anything. I'm a sinner. Please forgive me for this and forgive me for that. Please change me. I need grace. I need you because I have nothing to offer you. I am deserving of your judgment, but please, God, have mercy. That's the attitude we need to have when we come before God. They will be the ones to be exalted. So let us pray in these words taken from Psalm 51, the Psalm of the Repentant. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out our transgression. Wash away all our iniquities and cleanse us from our sins. For we know our transgressions and our sins always before us. Create us pure hearts. O God, renew steadfast spirits within us. Do not cast us out from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from us. Restore us to the joy of your salvation and grant us willing spirits to sustain. Amen.
I ask your prayers for God's people throughout the world, for this gathering, for bishops, for ministers, and for all people. Pray for the church. Almighty and ever-living God, by your Spirit, the whole body of your faithful people is governed and sanctified. Receive our supplications and prayers, which we offer before you, for all members of your holy church, that in our vocation and ministry we may truly and devoutly serve you. Through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I ask your prayers for peace, for goodwill among nations, for the well-being of all people. Pray for the people of this earth, for Mother Earth, and all the creatures that dwell within. Almighty God, kindle, we pray, in every heart the true love of peace, and guide with your wisdom those who take counsel for the nations of the earth, that justice and peace may increase, until the earth is filled with the knowledge of your love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I ask your prayers for the poor, for the sick, especially for Jane, Clib, Charlene, David, Wayne, Bernadette, Nancy, and all who have been commended to our prayers, for the hungry, the oppressed, and those in prison. Pray for those in any need or trouble. Gracious God, the comfort of all who sorrow, the strength of all who suffer, hear the cry of those in need. In their affliction, show them your mercy, and give us, we pray, the strength to serve them, for the sake of him who suffered for us, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I ask your prayers for those who have died in the peace of Christ, for those whose faith is known to God alone. Pray that they may be glorified. O God, the giver of eternal life, we give you thanks and praise for the wonderful grace and virtue declared in all your saints. Grant to us and to all who have died in hope of the resurrection a share in the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ and fullness of joy in fellowship with your saints. All this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us give thanks to Almighty God for all of God's goodness. You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power. You are worthy to receive blessing and praise, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, you have given us grace at this time with one accord to make our common supplications to you, and you have promised through your well-beloved Son that where two or three are gathered together, you will hear their requests. Fulfill now our petitions and desires as may be best for us, granting us in this world knowledge of your truth, and in the age to come, eternal life. For you, Father, are good and loving, and we glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, in the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has commanded and taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Linked by spirit, voice, and intention, we are wrapped in the love of God, all one in spirit, beyond the limits of time and space. Around the world at this very moment, countless prayers are being lifted. Songs of praise are being offered. Bread and wine is being blessed to nurture God's dear children. United in Christ, we lift our prayers and praise to God, and we give thanks that we too are spiritually fed in this time of worship. Lord Jesus, you call us to follow you. We love you above all things, and we give thanks that you transform our hearts with your love. Embrace each of us now. Unite us to you in this time of worship and every moment of our day. We give thanks that we are all fashioned by your love, gifted by your grace, upheld by your loving presence. May the blessings that we receive in this sacred connection move us to be blessings in the world. Amen. May we be the hands of Christ, assisting one another. May we be the voice of Christ, speaking up against injustice and unloving actions. May we be the heart of Christ, speaking out with compassion and healing. May we have the understanding of Christ and see all as our brothers and sisters and this planet as a sacred and holy world. And may the Holy Spirit guide us and empower us this day to accomplish our purpose with love and abundant joy. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us this day and evermore. Amen.
Go forth in the world rejoicing in the power of the Spirit.
Thanks be to God. Thank you for joining us this day for our time of worship. If you have a prayer request, please send it along to communitycatholicchurch@gmail.com. If you'd like to make a financial donation to help support our ministry, please visit the website at www.communitycatholicchurch.com. Join us next week at 10:30 a.m. for the next Sunday gathering. Blessings to you in the name of our God of love.